those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. But we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He's the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Well, 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 well. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing this morning? It is Monday, and it is the 11th day of March already. Hard to believe we are halfway through March already at this point, almost halfway through March. It is flying right by so quickly. I hope you had good worship yesterday, and I had a fantastic time at Winslow Baptist Church yesterday, and it was a great time of worship for me where I was, and had a little technical issues that I had a lot of different slides to share and couldn't share any of them yesterday, so it meant a kind of a quick change up in presentation, but we did it, and it was a fantastic time of worship. Hope your time of worship was good as well. We're in Luke chapter 18. I've entitled this Persistence in Humility and Prayer because that's what it's about in some measure, and it's also about justice in another measure as well. So let's jump into the text and see what we learn today. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. This is how we know that this is about prayer. Otherwise, you might think this is about that justice will be meted out eventually. So it says, Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to Him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, she refused. But finally, he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice." so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he not, or will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That last verse is a sobering verse for us when he asked the question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, working our way down through this passage, again, at verse 1, Jesus told them that they should always pray and not give up. I mean, what is our tendency? What is it that we would be inclined to do? We are inclined maybe to pray once or twice and then cease praying. But Jesus is trying to inspire his disciples to keep on praying. Now, they're going to see injustice. They're going to see persecution. They're going to see hard things happen. And so he is inspiring them to keep on praying, to not stop praying simply because the answer isn't coming. Keep on praying. Verse 2, he begins the illustration, the parable. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. Now, he is drawing a distinction between God who does care about men and a judge who does not care about men. He's saying if an uncaring judge, a judge who doesn't fear God, will respond in this way, how much better will God respond? That is what he's driving to. But he says, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now, out of that one verse, we know that there has been an injustice. We know that much. We know that out of that one verse that she kept coming to him with the plea. Perhaps he kept on saying, I won't hear your case. I won't hear your case. I won't hear your case. Or he kept saying, no, this is not, does not merit my attention. It doesn't merit my attention. I'm going to reject your plea. But the notion here in verse 3 is the fact that she kept coming to this judge with her plea. What do we learn out of that? What we learn is that we need to be persistent in our prayers. I don't know what to all things. I mean, I know some of the things that, especially those of you who are a regular part of the family, I know what you do. I know that you perhaps continue in your prayers, or I know what some of your situations and circumstances are. And I would tell you, you keep on praying. Sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes you feel like you've prayed and 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 you prayed and did I say and you prayed. And we get discouraged. Jesus is seeking to instruct and inspire his followers to keep on praying. They should always pray and not give up. Whatever your circumstance, to pray and not give up. Now, as we pray, some things happen. As we pray, the Lord begins maybe to align our hearts with his heart. As we pray, he aligns our ways with his ways. As we pray, we are changed. As we pray, we draw closer to the Lord. As we pray, there are so many benefits to continuing prayer. And sometimes if God just answered that prayer, I don't know if you can hear that snap, rather weak snap for my fingers here this morning. But if we think, well, we're just going to pray, and I mean, it's like a genie in a bottle or like a magician with a magic wand, just going to, you know, touch it with the wand and everything is going to be better. No, it doesn't work that way. We need to be persistent. And I know some of you have been persistent in your prayers and you're now seeing answers. Jesus' instruction is to keep on praying. And Don is interacting with this over in the comments. Don is saying, I just spoke to somebody exactly about this yesterday. So discouraged in a situation. God answers in his perfect timing. The answer isn't always yes. And that's true. Sometimes the things we want would not be good for us. Sometimes the things we want would do more harm in our life than what we might imagine. And so, God says no. Sometimes there's other work that God wants to do, so he says wait. God answers our prayers, and he directs us in what it is that he wants us to do if we're listening. The question is, do we have a heart that is prepared to want to listen to what God has to say to us? Now, let's continue the text. She continued this prayer in verse 3, grant me justice against my adversary. She is seeking justice. It says about the judge, for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men. So, I mean, this is repeated, verse 2, and then verse 4. I don't fear God, I don't care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. I mean, will we wear God out? I don't think we'll wear God out. But perhaps what God is looking for, how important is it to us? God is looking for us to keep coming to him, to keep coming to him, to keep coming to him, to keep coming to him. And this is encouraging to me today, personally. I mean, there's a particular issue. I keep praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and the answer just isn't coming. And you begin to wear down, do you not? You begin to become discouraged. You begin to become maybe even sinful. Think, well, God's not going to answer my prayer. I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do. And that can be what happens. But no, we need to continue to come to God with our requests, to ask him to meet the need in the circumstance, in the situation. And you notice what it says. It says, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't wear me out with her coming. I mean, she was persistent day after day after day after day. The Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring justice for his chosen ones? Now, perhaps their prayer was for justice. Who cry out to him day and night, will he keep putting him off? Now, he could be speaking to his people, the people of Israel at this point, people who are saying, look, we want to see great things happen. We want to see ourselves delivered from Roman oppression. We want to see justice for the ways that we've been treated. They're crying out day and night. They were looking for their Messiah. And he says, will God keep putting them off? No, and it's a rhetorical question with the answer being, no, he won't keep putting them off. He says in verse 18, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is a very interesting ending to this parable, but it's a question that gets right to the heart of the matter. Will he find faith? I mean, will he find faith among us as believers? Will we continue to pursue him? Will we continue to follow him? Will we continue to desire him? Will we continue to do his work? Will he find faith on the earth? Now, as I look around, and some might agree with me, as you look around some in American Christian culture, you could see faith eroding. I mean, we make negligible time for God. We make negligible time for involvement in a local assembly of believers, in one way or the other. We make negligible time for prayer. Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find saving faith? Will he find a faith that is pursuing after God? This is the question that he is asking. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It probes into our hearts, does it not? How is our faith? How's our faith relationship? Are we continuing to walk with him? Are we continuing to obey him? Are we continuing to do the works that he wants us to do? These are the questions that we ask. Now, let's press into the next parable that Jesus has for us here in Luke chapter 18. The Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Now, we should never be confident in our own righteousness. Our confidence always comes in the righteousness of Christ. I always remember who I am. I always remember that but for the grace of God, there go I. So I don't have confidence in my righteousness. I know that I am not righteous. I know that it is only the imputed God-given righteousness that God has given to me through Jesus Christ, that I have any measure of righteousness. So we need to be careful of self-righteousness, of a righteousness that says, well, I'm righteous because I'm a great person. No. To some who are confident and look down on, who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, the other, tax collector. Now, in the religious system, they would be thinking this. They'd be thinking, well, the one that God is more pleased with is the Pharisee. The one that God is more pleased with is the religious acting person. But that isn't going to be the case as we read through this parable, because you notice the Pharisee was self-righteous. It says, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, like robbers and evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get, and I'm quite proud of it. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other one, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. See, he is trying to call attention to all of his works and all the things that he does. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. How do we approach God? How do you approach God? Do you approach God as confident in your righteousness? I think we can approach God with a measure of confidence because we're his children. I think we should. The writer to the Hebrews says that we should come boldly to the throne of grace, where we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. That's how we're instructed in the book of Hebrews. But yet we can come confidently and boldly and yet humility. Humility and boldness aren't necessarily opposites. You can be bold and humble at the same time. You can be confident in God's work and humble at the same time. The issue here is self-righteousness. Now, those of you that have been traveling with me for a number of years know what I say about self-righteousness and the stench of it. I think chicken manure smells better than self-righteousness. Or, stating it in the negative, self-righteousness stinks worse than chicken poop. And especially when it's been stored up and spread out in the fields. And I know Walter would know exactly what we're talking about there. Two men went up to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Which one are you? Which one would be the inclination of your heart? An inclination of, well, I deserve this because I'm a great person. Or, you know, God has been gracious to me, and I come to him in humility, acknowledging his grace. Notice how it concludes in verse 14. It says this, I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Persistence, humility, and prayer, that is what we're looking at in this passage. Will we be persistent in our prayers? Will we be humble in our prayers? We are called to be humble. We are called to be persistent. Does that show up in our lives? I hope it does. I hope that there will be humility. I hope that there will be persistence, that you will continue to persistently pray. And I don't know what the circumstance is. I know what my circumstance is, and I'm not getting the answer at this point on the particular issue. There's much work to be done, and it's great work. As an example, we sent another batch of money and over the weekend, and I haven't seen the result of this yet, but over the weekend, we did send some more money over to Pakistan for more Bibles. And I understood the Bibles were being printed and should be picked up, should be delivered. And there's a great work going on there. My friend Joseph over in South Sudan has needs at this particular time. And I would like to get some support sent over to him. I mean, $1,000 goes so much further in South Sudan than it goes in America. And again, he's a vetted partner. He is someone who's proven as a multiplier, and having seen numerous churches started and training numerous leaders there. And I would like to get funds over to my friend to support what he does in ministry there. So those are some things I'm praying about, and things that you could participate in. In fact, we'd like to get back over to South Sudan and get a roof on their building. For $10,000, we can put a roof, doors, and windows in their building there. You could barely put doors in America for that kind of money. I'm talking like double doors, like we would put in, like commercial-type doors. Rather expensive, but they can do, and I'm not talking a small building, and I'm not talking a building that is a metal roof like what you've seen perhaps. I'm talking on their brick structure. And those are some of the things I'm praying about how to make that happen. If you would like to keep up with me in with what's going on beyond what I talk about here, I want to encourage you to subscribe to and I've put it in the comments here, jimcalbertson.epistle.org. It's free. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything, but it is the place where I can put more things because it is subscription-based rather than just open public access like we have on Facebook. Subscribe. I have to approve your subscription. So, I mean, it's something that gives us a little bit more safety in protecting our friends and our allies in other places than just generally on Facebook. So I want to encourage you to subscribe if you haven't already done so. You guys are partners, you're prayer warriors. I am raising up an army of 300. And if you want to be a part of that family, you can do so. In fact, let me make a little bit of something here. I'll do it for another day. The link is there, and I know some of you have jumped in, and I will be putting regular things as an example. I'll post on there what I was up to yesterday. And again, where I was speaking, I have really the next month scheduled out for the most part of speaking and trying to see what I can work time in to get back to South Sudan. Even if I go, I'm not sure if I'll go at this point. I'd like to go. I'd like to take somebody with me who I really want to have experience South Sudan. Work at the end of the time frame, and B, just funding all of that at one shot, the many different things going on. But God is doing great things. God is doing good things. So I know what I'm praying about. What about you? What things are on your heart? It might be for your family. It might be for your children. It might be for your grandchildren. It might be about your own economic situation. It might be loneliness. It might be any number of different things. I want to encourage you this morning, just based on what we have looked at, what we've considered today, remain persistent in your prayers. Keep knocking. Jesus says over in Matthew chapter 7, to ask, to seek, to knock. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking for what God will do, and stay humble. Don't come to God and say, well, God, I deserve this. But rather, Lord, I don't deserve your goodness, but I'm asking for it. God, I don't deserve your answers, but I'm asking for it. We come looking to God in that way. Lesson on persistence. Lesson on humility. Be persistent in your prayers. Be humble in your prayers and see how God will answer. Lord, help us. Teach us to pray aright. Teach us, Lord, to pray as we ought to pray. Teach us to pray persistently. Lord, and I pray with my friends, not knowing what all of their needs are, the persistent needs they've been bringing before you, Lord, would you hear their prayer? Would you answer their prayer? Would we see you at work in those circumstances? And Father, we come humbly before you today, being reminded that we come to you because of Jesus and because of what Jesus has done for us. And he is the one that has given us access. And so we come to you in his name, and we consider all the various promises to answer prayer. Lord, we remind you of your promises. We bring our prayers to you, and we say, Lord, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day, everyone.